The following radio interviews were conducted by Tim Behrens of KJSL Radio in St. Louis during the July 2005 SDA General Conference. In this segment, we'll be speaking with Dennis Fisher.
We have now on the line a former Seventh-day Adventist. Dennis Fisher, good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Jim.
No?
Or Tim, it is.
Tim, right. My, okay. Jim's my brother, Orthodox priest in Orlando. Say hi to Pastor Gary on my extreme right over here.
God bless you.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Now, you were a Seventh-day Adventist, Dennis, for how many years?
For nearly a half a century.
Were you born into the faith?
I was a third-generation Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay.
I was a licensed minister for a number of years as well.
My, my. Now, where did you pastor?
In the Carolinas,
okay.
Carolina Conference.
Okay, all right. Well, how has leaving Adventism influenced your walk with Christ?
After having anchored my life in the New Covenant teachings of Jesus Christ, the true Sabbath rest, I was not merely a hope-so Christian, but I became a know-so Christian. I think that's the most dramatic transformation that I experienced. Hmm. When I was still a Seventh-day Adventist, I never felt good enough to be saved. Hmm. It was sort of like a treadmill or a roller coaster ride. I just never felt that I could do it. It was possible for me to lose my salvation several times a day. Mm. Every time I would think a bad thought or a negative thing that was not godly, I would lose my salvation. So in Adventism, there's not such a thing as having salvation now. It is something that you can hopefully achieve in the future.
Mm. I had a couple of friends. I worked in Glendale. At a Christian station there, and there were a couple of Adventist friends that worked on the staff there, and these were people that just, they were so super serious, and it was just that you sensed there was just no joy in their life, and that explains a lot. Now, did that come from Ellen G. White, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
Yes, she said that even an idle moment could keep you out of heaven.
Mm.
That was very scary.
Well, she certainly wouldn't be against me eating meat, would she?
It was not a requirement, but she did say that as the end of the world was approaching, that people will eventually, those that want to be saved, will discard that.
Now,
about half of the Adventists still are carnivorous, but it's not a fellowship, a test of fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Sabbath. Now, if they're really going to keep the Sabbath, they couldn't really start their car. They couldn't really go over a third of a mile. That's a Sabbath day journey. If you're going to keep the Sabbath, you're going to have to keep it all the way, aren't you?
Yes, they have many rationales for this. They also are not supposed to leave their home on the Sabbath and the Jewish sense, they, and under the Sabbath law, they were not to leave their home, their tent. Mm-hmm. And of course, many, they go to worship, they go to social functions, and they go to potlucks and so forth. So they have their own version of Sabbath keeping.
Hmm. It's kind of interesting. We were at a wellness clinic out in Colorado. This is Pastor Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sent there through a Christian MediShare program, which I had joined. And one of the things on a Sunday that they required that you had to go to church or have your own Sabbath in your own cubicle, but you had to walk. We had to walk 4 miles a day, two in the morning and two in the evening.
Wow!
But that was pretty interesting, I thought. And then I got in it with a lot of the leaders there because I believe in grace.
Oh, sure.
And obviously, there was so much law that was ministered that I found myself at odds with them right from the beginning.
Mm.
But
right.
At the same time, there were wonderful people,
oh, yeah.
I've got to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, I would like to think that I was a wonderful person when I was a Seventh-day Adventist as well.
Well, what turned the light on?
Actually, we never knew what was going on, and it was when the dawn of the Internet, when information technology came to on the horizon, is when we were able to find our way out of the darkness of Adventism. Mm.
How much of Ellen G. White's work is plagiarized?
It varies according to the individual publication, up to 80% in some books.
So she has plagiarized 80%.
Right, and The sad thing is that she said that she never did.
Mm. Wow.
It's not that she used without giving credit. Mm-hmm. That is alone very bad. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she said that she never did. She only quoted angels, she said.
Mm. Now, do you consider the Seventh-day Adventist Church a cult today?
Yes, I do.
You do. And why is that?
Because they don't believe in Scripture alone, because they believe in the inspiration of Ellen White, and the writings that are attributed to her are also inspired. So not believing in a sola scriptura, they are not truly Protestant, in my view.
So if they choose, I mean, if they, one of our Seventh-day Adventist friends were to have to choose between the writings of Ellen G. White or the Bible, most would go with, or all would go with Ellen G. White?
There's just a host of Seventh-day Adventists that no longer believe in Ellen White. That's another issue. But Ellen White is easier to read, and so it's written in a contemporary way, and so that's their modern prophetess, mm-hmm. and so they feel more comfortable in reading. I hardly ever read the Bible. It was mostly Ellen White for devotionals and so forth, because life is very busy. And we hardly have time as Christians, as you know, to do the things that we should in Bible study and so forth, and then to think that we had a prophet. Her books, if you stack them up, are about 6 feet tall. Mm. And so you see, the Bible is only usually, what is it, an inch or two thick. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you believe that our friends, though, that that seemingly love the Lord, do you believe that they will enter into the kingdom of heaven? Do you believe that they are born again or not?
Yes, I believe there are many people that will that are Christians, that are Seventh-day Adventists, in spite of their belief system. In other words, they have to ignore certain aspects of their faith in order to really be true to Jesus.
It is very idolatrous, I can see that, yeah.
Do they still believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael, or do they believe that Jesus is truly God?
They believe, according to the scapegoat in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, 16, that the scapegoat is Satan. He will bear our sins. And so, in other words, Satan has a part in our atonement. Without Satan, there is no putting away of sin and the very final end of the atonement process. But the atonement was not completed at the cross. It is going on now, according to Adventism.
If people wanted more information about you or how a person can get out of Seventh-day Adventist, what to share with their Seventh-day Adventist friends, what do you recommend?
I recommend they log on to formeradventist.com.
Formeradventist.com.
One word.
Okay.
And there's just a host of information. There's links there that be an immense amount of information. It'd be very eye-opening for many.
Very good. Dennis Fisher, thank you so much for being with
God
us today.
God bless you, Dennis.
It's a pleasure.